Blessed be your holy name, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Holy, 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 the Lord Almighty. All the earth is filled with your glory. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for all of us on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you took the place of all our iniquities. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. What we can do, Lord, the love that you showed us, you loved us first. What we can do, Lord. And Lord, we are here, O Lord, to keep on chasing that question with hunger and thirst in the bread of life, with the Spirit, to drink into the Spirit, the new covenant. That we are all washed by the blood of Christ. What we can do, Lord. What is there for us to change? What is there for us to submit? What is there for us to yield? Lord, may you speak to our hearts today. We are here, O Lord, to speak to you, to listen to you, and to wait upon the presence that can revive us, that can restore us, that can perfect us. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Spirit. That is liberty for all of us, Lord. Bless us, Lord, to be freed from our flesh. Bless us, Lord, to be delivered from the captivity of this world. And Lord, here we are, O Lord. We are surrendering our lives unto thy mighty hands, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We bless your holy name for your righteousness and the love, grace and mercy that we are all experiencing every day of our life, O Lord. May you teach us, Lord, the life of a Christian, the follower of Christ, must have a personal experience with the groom, the personal experience with the fountain of life, the solid rock, the chief cornerstone. Only then, O Lord, we can be built as a spiritual priesthood upon the foundation that is sure, your truth. Thank you, Lord, that you are pricking our hearts to put our faith into work. If we do not do your work, we cannot become your disciples, O Lord. If we do not love one another, we cannot become your friend, O Lord. Teach us, Lord, to become your friend. To love you with all we have, and to love you above everything that we could have in this world. Above our family, our work, our health, our wealth, O Lord. You are our everything, O Lord. In you, we see all sufficiency. In you, we receive everything. In you, we see everyone. You are the source of life, the Alpha and Omega, the Holy One and the Mighty One. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for this Sunday where we all gathered to glorify your name and to keep working and to keep listening, keep receiving, because the work is not done yet. The Lord is not through in us yet. The process is ongoing. May you bless us, Lord, to do all your commandments without delay. To fulfill all your promises in our life by yielding to the Spirit without hesitation, without lingering. We thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the name above all names, we surrender this sermon. May you anoint our lips, our hearts, our ears, our mind to receive the bread of life in the way you want us to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my precious dear brethren. That's a wonderful song, a family song, a beautiful special. We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord as Brother Raleigh's family sang that song. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Over time, it's taking a new state of I love you, Lord. Then we always stay in the ground of I ask you, Lord. I ask you this, I ask you that, I want this, I want that. So we are always asking. That was I was doing many years ago. But if I look back, the Lord was very patient in my life. The Lord was very patient in your life. The Lord was so merciful in all our lives. Just turn back and look at your life 20, 30 years ago. How we think, how we pray, why we praise the Lord, why we worship the Lord, why we love the Lord. And even why do we listen to sermon? The root cause of all those actions might be something silly. Something that is not etched in eternity. Something because we want to change, we want to feel good, we want to be safe, we want to be healthy. But the Lord was merciful. because He is faithful. The Lord was gracious because He is all about what He spoke concerning His children. We can see it in our life. Amen. If you ask me, the very first time I prayed, it was for the Lord to save me from dying because I had a cancerous tumor on my neck. You can see this, the scar is still there on my leg, on my neck, my left neck. So I was 12 years old. I was praying, Lord, I don't want to die. I love my friends. I love my parents. Because of that, you save me. I didn't even tell Him I love you. Because I was 12 years old. I know nothing. That was the first prayer concerning the body of mine with the limited knowledge and wisdom of mine in flesh. So 24 years later, if I look back, wow, I was so selfish. Just ask the Lord, just heal me from this cancerous tumor. I'm good. We are settled. Then I will just go back and play, and I just go back and do whatever I want. But now, if the Lord put me in the same situation, I know in the word of the Lord, the prayer will be different, the burden will be different, and the intent, the faith, the desire, everything is different. Because He is changing us from glory to glory. There is a process of growing. Oftentimes people look at the growth as height or width or length or number of people or whatever that you can show to us as a proof. That is not the growth of the Lord. Breaking is growing. Shrinking down is growing. Letting go of things is growing. But that growing will be seen as a world like you are failing. You are becoming sick. What happened to you? Why are you losing in your life? So the reference, the measure of this world to call something is successful, good, strong, mighty, healthy, those measures, those weighing scales stand no chance in the weighing scale of the Lord. Because that is also part of the revelation of the truth. Let's talk about this instance. Let's say there is a denominational group who believe Trinity and who believe idol worship. If they come and introduce a new doctrine saying that finally the Lord revealed to us how to decode this Ezekiel 36-37 prophecy, how to find the connection between book of Daniel, book of Jeremiah, and all the mighty prophets, we have found the way how things are going to end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we stop there. So now, the claim is, the Lord did not reveal us about the Godhead. The Lord did not reveal to us why He died on Calvary. The Lord did not reveal to us what happened in Garden of Eden. The Lord did not reveal to us about the all-sufficiency in Scripture, about the oneness of God, our Savior, our Master, Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the Holy One of Israel. There is only one Savior, there is none beside Him. One, that is the most fundamental foundation that is crucial for our salvation. Amen? We call it as the truth. So how come the Holy Spirit comes and tells them, the truth is not revealed to you, it is fine. I'm going to reveal to you the interpretation of the mighty prophets. Interpretation of the mighty visions. What is important? What is important in our life? Let's take it upon our life. What is important in our life? To live for the truth that was revealed to you, or use the very same truth to add more and more knowledge and put on a clothing of wise generation of God's children. That is exactly what happened to Pharisees and Sadducees. That is exactly what happened to Jews. They were given so much. They had walked closely with God's generation. The more closer we get, the more familiar we get with the anointing of the Lord, with the work of the Lord, the more confounding, more confusion we could be influenced. Why? There must be a gap. And that gap is filled with reverence and honor, and that gap is filled with believing in all good things done by God who is good. Amen? When that gap is compromised, saying that I can go in front of the ark, I can dance around the ark, I can even carry the ark, the Lord would say,
forget not, I struck Uzzah. Amen? How can the God of righteousness can strike a vessel if that vessel is filled with righteousness? Let's take an example. Uriah was a righteous man. Amen? Nabal was a wicked man. Amen? On the 10th day, God struck Nabal. Scripture says, the Lord struck Nabal. On the 10th day, he died. Abigail was redeemed from the wickedness of Nabal, the husband of Nabal, and was given to who? David. The scripture says Abigail was so beautiful. Her countenance was so fair. Absalom was also described in the same manner. Saul was also described in the same manner. Beautiful, fair, countenance. And she was given to David. The Lord added a blessing. But before that happened, I want you all to focus very carefully here. She was being a good wife, trying to save the husband. Although she was doing something behind the screen, not telling the husband everything, she was trying to do something to preserve the life of Nabal. Amen? But she didn't tell all of it. Why? Nabal could not understand the work of Abigail. Because Abigail is trying to do some good things, but Nabal is a man of wickedness, man that is doing bad things. If she go and say something, it is like barking on a wall, throwing stones at a wall. He can't listen. Michal cannot explain to her father, Saul, don't kill my husband David. Correct? So she deceived her father by doing some covering as if David was sleeping on the bed. And she told David, I opened the window, escape. So on one side, daughter Michal was not truthful to her father Saul. And wife Abigail was also not truthful to her husband Nabal. But now this truthful is in the flesh, in this earth. Because those two men, Nabal and Saul, they do not understand, they cannot receive, they cannot perceive what Michal is doing and what Nabal is doing. So they had to do certain things in a way it had to be done. But, what if Michal do the same thing when Saul remains as a righteous king? When Saul remains as a vessel of God, God speaks to him. God is with him, God is in him, God is working in him. Saul's life is pleasing God. Amen? Now, the situation is different. True? Now, if Michal do the same thing by hiding something from her father, doing something on her own, where the father is pleasing the Almighty, where the father is a vessel filled by the Spirit of the Lord to serve him, then whatever that she does will be taken as unfaithfulness, betrayal, wickedness. Correct? Same for Nabal. If she tries to think, if the wife of Nabal, Abigail, if she thinks, my husband Nabal is a good man, I know, he's a righteous man, I know. But look at David. How mighty he is. How strong he is. Instead of me being called as wife of Nabal, it is good. I am called as wife of David. If she do things for Nabal to get killed, and so that she can become the wife of David, then the same story will be read in a different way. So, just because Nabal was wicked, an evil person, Abigail's actions were justified by God Himself in the later stage when she was blessed to be the wife of David. So this is where we are going to meditate on the generations, mothers, daughters, fathers, children, husband's wife. Amen? Now you see, in order for two people to be called as father and mother, they should have become husband and wife in the first place. Correct? So the first relationship that comes in, husband and wife, father and mother, then you can say father's son, father's daughter, mother's son, mother's daughter. It is in the third tier, third layer. Correct? In the Garden of Eden, God made Adam, created, and he made Eve for him. So he established the sacred covenant of marriage, man and woman, before they became the parents of Abel. Then the son was sacrificed, killed. Then the Lord replaced Abel with Seth. So we are all called the Sethic generation. Amen? But in between, my brethren, the Lord cleansed the whole earth completely by sending the flood, destroying the flesh, preserving Noah. And the serpent and seed continued. That's what we focused last Sunday. But Noah and his sons, Shem was the line from which the Lord called who? Abraham. Amen? Abraham was called to become Abraham, and he is from the family of Shem's generation, the son of Noah. Now, before that, before the Lord called Abraham, what happened exactly? Do you remember? What was the key event before the Lord called Abraham? Was it the flood? No. There was a Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. Amen? The Lord was angry. He confounded them. He scattered them. So now remember this. The Lord scattered the generations of this world, children of men. Then he called Abraham, one single man. He scattered the people, children of men. In the next chapter, you can see Terah, the father of Abraham, from the family of Shem, the Lord called Abraham, come, let's walk. Let's go on a walk to the land of Ur, Chaldean, and to the promised land. So there was a journey. So why I'm covering all of this? There is a reason. We focused on the promised land given to Abraham under the terebinth trees, the mighty strong oak tree, as we understand. Before that, all this happened. Amen? So, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed before Abraham received the promise. Abraham received the promise, but before the child was born, the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but the Lord answered Abraham's prayer by bringing Lot, the righteous soul, out of the destruction. Last Sunday, by God's grace, I came to preach on Ezekiel 34 and Malachi. But during the worship, the Lord pricked my heart to focus on Ammonites. So I just submitted to the leading of the Lord. So we only focused on Genesis chapter 18, 19 last week. We didn't go anywhere. We did not read any Bible verses last Sunday. Only Genesis and Malachi 5 verses. Because the word Ammonites and the word Moabites, we have to understand deeply as the Lord is leading us. Remember this. I'm just going to the right side so that I separate these two families. Abraham received a promise. The Lord told him, I'm going to give you a promised son. He got Isaac. Amen? But before Isaac, he received Ishmael. But he was not a promised son. But that fruit of Abraham was also influenced by his wife Sarah, who wanted him to give birth to their handmaid, Agar. Right? Before Isaac comes in, there was Ishmael. Ishmael was about 13 years old when he was circumcised. Amen? So now, the seed of Abraham has a division. The Lord told, I will give you a promise son. He never said about Ishmael. He never said about the two seeds. He said one promise son. But before that comes in, there is Ishmael. Remember? Ishmael. So Ishmael was born before Isaac. Never forget that. So now, Hagar and Ishmael, they fled from who? Sarah. Not from Abraham. Sarah was very unhappy with Hagar and her son because she despised them in heart. She was scared that Ishmael may take over her son. Hagar may take over her own position. Same as Bathsheba was telling, you told my son will become the king. David, my son. You promised that my son will become the king. She was pleading for her son as well, right? Solomon. So, the seed of Abraham had a division. One side, we have Ishmael. On the other side, we have Isaac. From Isaac, Jacob. From Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob's name also changed to Israel. And from the 12 tribes, we have Judah. We have Joseph. We have Benjamin. These three. And from these three, we have been studying for the past 24 weeks. Correct? Saul from Benjamin. Joseph, the important person among the big four in the book of Genesis. The last one, the very last verse of the book of Genesis talks about the death of Joseph. How old was he when he died? 110 years old. Amen? The redeemer of those little flock of Israel was 110 years old when he died. His name is Joseph. Amen. And the leader of Israel who brought the people of Israel to the promised land, Canaan, Joshua, also died. He was 110 years old. Amen. Joseph brought about 70 souls to the land of Egypt. He died 110 years old. He told the people, the Lord will visit you surely. The word sure, certain. Certain always reminds you of amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, amen. There is only one who can say, if I say, it shall come to pass, for sure. Amen. Sure, the foundation, that is sure. Surety is certainty. Certainty is, when the Lord speaks, it's a prophecy. For certain, it will come to pass. Because He is the fulfillment of God's word. Amen? Now, the God that we see in the Old Testament and the God that we see in the New Testament, same. There is only one Savior. He is keep on reminding us, I am the same yesterday, today, forever. Your Old Testament, your New Testament, your old prophecy, your new prophecies, whatever it is, be established in the present established truth today. That's it. Take your life one day at a time because He is the same forever. Forget, don't worry not about the tomorrow. Now we are bound to Old Testament. I couldn't even step into New Testament. Why? The more we understand the work of the Lord, the more you would love to go back and soak in Old Testament. That is true. That is true. You go and search every big multitude of denominational churches. They don't preach Old Testament. You know why? They cannot preach Old Testament. Old Testament cannot be preached without the Spirit of the Lord. Who talk about daughters of Lot slept with the father and bring forth two generations, Moab and Ammonite? If they preach, they will lose the number of people attend the church. Oh, this church. This church. Oh, no. Filthy church. What are you speaking? But if you look at the people who fight for the doctrines, Noah's nakedness was uncovered by the sun. What a cult this church is. There is no way. How can this son can go and defile the bed of the father? This is wrong. This doctrine is evil. Then they go and read the same scripture in the book of Genesis. Daughters of Lot, they slept with the father when he was drunk. One by one, they bring forth Ammonites and Moabites. Okay, honey, let's go for dinner. We just finished reading scripture. So you can take it, but you can't take it. You understand it, but you just skip it. But you don't want to understand it just because it is spoken, revealed by the Lord, through the Lord, from different group who is not submitting to your authority. Hatred. Correct? What is the root cause of all the divisions you see, my brethren? Hatred. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. Because hatred will always help you to stay in your state of pride. I belong to this church. I belong to this church. I belong to this religion. Oh, he's telling something good. Is it from my group? No. Then I defend. No. It is wrong. It is wrong. Why? There is no goodness can come from any other group other than from my own group. That is what Lucifer did. That is why he fell. We have to be very careful how we discern the work of the Lord in our life and how he performed his work in the lives of the children of God in the Old Testament. Because he is the same. He is not going to change. He cannot change. He is the same. So now you see, the righteous soul of Lot was misused by the two daughters who wanted to preserve the seed of the father, and they literally formed a generation of Moabites and Ammonites. And these two, land of Ammon, land of Moabites, they were tormenting, fighting battles against who? Against who, my brethren? Against Judah, against Israel. And they are who? Abraham's generation. Now you see, Abraham, I was standing here on the right side. My cousin Lot, my relative Lot is here. So my relative in this earth. When Lot was captured, Abraham sent 300 mighty men to deliver him. When Lot was surrounded in the Sodom and Gomorrah, he knows that the city is going to be destroyed. He was bargaining with the Lord. After the Lord sent the two angels, he waited. The two angels gone. Okay, God, let's talk business. He was bargaining. When? after the two angels were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah, he had a personal encounter with God. Can you leave this land if there is one? 10. He said 10. But actually there was only one. There was only one. Now, last Sunday I was focusing on the lingering of Lot. But actually Lot is a very good person. A beautiful soul. But he was lingering. So what I was speaking is, the Lord called him righteous because of his innocence. He really wanted to do good, but he don't know how. He really wanted to lose everything to protect the two angels, but he had no knowledge and wisdom of the Lord at that point of time. But his intent was pure. His intent was beautiful. Even when he feared, when the angels told him to go there, he was so scared that he wanted to go here. That doesn't mean Lot was an evil person. The scripture never recorded Lot as an evil, wicked person. He was called the righteous Lot. So, the Lord is teaching us, it doesn't matter whether you are so wise, you are so knowledgeable, you are so strong. But if you are righteous, yet you are weak, you are righteous, yet you are not wise, the Lord would say, I will deliver you. But let's say you say, no, Lord, I'm a bit different. I'm better than Lot. I am so knowledgeable, so wise, I know how to handle all of it. I'm very strong, but I'm not righteous. We won't be saved. Do you hear me? Lot is a beautiful example of when the Lord told us, convert to be like children. I looked at the verse in that chapter. Then I could see things clearly. What he was doing, if I tell you, Lot was a 5-year-old child, you would read the same chapter. Beautiful. Look at the child. The Lord delivered him. Two angels told him to go to the mountain. This child was crying. No. This beast will come and bite me. The enemy will come and attack me. I'm so scared. I'll go and hide in the cave. You did this, right? I did this. When the father was looking for me to beat me, I go and hide in the bed. In the bed sheet. As if that is the safest haven. No one can find me. I can save myself. Even when you are kids, when you are sleeping, you had some bad dreams, the bed sheet becomes your mighty tower. You cover the bed sheet, you feel as if nobody can find you. When you are 3-4 years old, I'm talking. Hopefully not now. So, the Lord taught us, we all have our own understanding of safe haven. If I go to the cave, I'm safe. That's what Lot thought. That doesn't make Lot as a bad person. That is how much he learned. That is the faith level of him. Because the Lord, he don't need you to be strong and mighty. He just wants you to be obedient and innocent in his word. So, he was delivered. His name was not profaned. When I say the name of Lot, because the scripture was keep on defending him. Lot perceived not what happened to him. Lot was sleeping. He was drunk. He perceived not. Don't you dare to say anything bad about my son Lot. That is the warning there. He was preserved. No matter Ammonites and Moabites came from his seed, but he was no part in that. How can we understand this? How can we understand this? Let's apply this to the 7 church ages. There were 7 mighty prophets of God sent by the Spirit of the Lord. 7 candlesticks, 7 spirits of the Lord. So the Lord sent the prophet one by one. First church age, go and reveal the seed of mine to the people. Second church age, go and reveal this truth of mine to the people. 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. Amen? Now they all died. They all go and they rested in peace. The Lord took them back to his own glory. But what happened after they died? I want you all to think. What happened after Apostle Paul died? He was the greatest apostle that we all read in the church ages. What the Lord did through Apostle Paul. What happened? Apostle Peter died. They built a church in the name of Peter. They built a church in the name of Paul. They are building churches in the name of the messengers of the church ages. From where the generation came. Unless the people who followed the prophet, the people who followed Moses, the people who followed the church ages, they thought, we must preserve the seed of our father. We must preserve the doctrine of our master. We must preserve the doctrine of our prophet because it is our legacy. It is our legacy. We should not leave it. They took the word, polluted it. They created their own tribes of denominational churches. Now we have thousands of divisions where there has to be only one. God says, harlotry, whoredom in spiritual life. Correct? After 300 to 400 years, the scripture was formed. We talk about from Calvary, the church ages, what Apostle Paul did in the first church age. Since then, you could see there was different forms of cult being born in every church age. And they give birth to different cults in every church age. All the way from apostolic faith, what we read in the book of Acts. And now we stand in a timeline where we see thousands of groups divided. And now, if you go and check, you see all the news articles. One group would never accept the goodness of other group. They would always point the fault of other group to justify their existence. You can go and find it. Correct? They would say, they believe 10 of it. Our group did not believe in the 7th faith of what they believe. Because of that, we are different. We are special. We are elite. We are something special. You can follow us. It is nothing but the ruling party, opponent party, politics that is happening in every single nation. Division. Ishmael, Isaac. The righteous Lot and the two seeds of Lot that were polluted by the two daughters, Ammonites and Moabites. So, the fearless flock was the burden that I prepared last Sunday to come. But I thank the Lord. I always believe in my heart. The sermon is over, only the sermon is over. The Lord can change all of us. Even in your prayer, you always remember, yielding, submitting means that very single second, the very moment, I trust in the leading of the Spirit. He can change my direction. He can change my life. He can make me to go down. He can make me to go up. That is submission. If we are so well prepared and, you know, completely holding on to what we prepared, the Lord would say it is stiffness, not stillness. The words look very similar. Amen? Stillness, stiffness. But stillness can be applied on water. Stiffness can only be applied on a frozen snow. Correct? Water can be still, but still it is not a solid. It's still a liquid. Fluid, but it can be still. So the Lord wants us to remember what happened to the children of Abraham, what happened to the children of Lot, is a lesson for all of us to learn from today. Generations of the seeds, flocks of the shepherds. That is the focus that we are going to dwell in deep today. Book of Ezekiel talks about shepherds and flocks. Old Testament talks about fathers and children. Amen? Whatever you that give birth, you become the mother of it. Correct? Now let's turn our scripture. To close what we meditated on Ammonites and Moabites before I go into the sermon today. Fearless flock. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I want you all to focus on the word of the Lord sincerely with reverence and honor, because we are going to read a set of scriptures in a sequence. We have to follow the flow of the Lord's word. Because it's like a river. If we are a bit careless, we will miss the turns. Amen? There is a flow. So, we start from Deuteronomy 2:9. Now, let's turn the scriptures to Book of Ezekiel, chapter 25, verse 3. After we finish reading the scriptures, we will start the fearless flock as the Lord leads. Chapter 25, verse 3. Ezekiel, I read. Let's remember the sequence of how the Lord works. I will read from verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against the Ammonites, and prophesy against them. And say unto the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou saidst, aha, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity. Behold, Therefore, I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession, and they shall set their palaces in thee, and make their dwellings in thee. They shall eat thy fruit, and they shall drink thy milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and Ammonites a couching place for flocks. I repeat, I will make Ammonites a couching place for flocks, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now the Lord is specifically speaking about Ammonites. We don't see the word Moabites here. Deuteronomy 2:9, we talked about Moabites, not about Ammonites. So now, they are two different seeds of Lot, two different daughters. Amen? Now, let's look at the work of the Lord completed in their lives in different scriptures so that we bring it back to book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, fathers and children. Verse 10, same chapter. 25 verse 10. Unto the men of the east with the Ammonites. Because in verse 5 he said, I will give you to the men of the east as a possession. Amen? What is possession? If I take the laptop belongs to Brother Joshua, if I take it, then this laptop belongs to mine. Then he can say, oh, Brother Prasi, he is with the laptop. Correct? Now verse 5 says, I will give you as a possession to the men of the east. Now you read verse 10. Verse 10 says, unto the men of the east with the Ammonites. What does it mean? With the Ammonites, and will give them in possession, and that the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. Every time you read the word among the nations, one name should come in. Abraham. The father of all nations. Abraham. Amen? So, here we read, Ammonites' name will not be remembered among the nations. This is what we read in Ezekiel chapter 25. Now let's go a step back. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Now, this must remind you. Ezekiel chapter 16, where the scripture told us, you loved strange husbands. Amen? Now, if you look at Solomon as a bride, like comparing to our life, that we should bring forth the wisdom of the Lord, if Solomon is considered as a bride for our understanding, when the scripture says Solomon loved many strange women, it means the bride committed harlotry with many strange husbands. Correct? That is why I said we don't focus on female and male. We focus on how the Lord wants us to be prepared. Now you read verse 1. Who are those strange wives? King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Last Sunday, two Sundays, we are stuck with daughters of Pharaoh. Daughters of Pharaoh. Now you read, women of the Moabites. What? They are bundled into the group of Egyptians. Women of Moabites. Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, Ammonites. So, verse 1 clearly says, yes, we all agree, King Solomon is a great wise king from the line of Judah. His father is David. Yes, we know. What happened to Bathsheba? Yes, we learned. Now, Solomon is the wisdom, a king of wisdom in this earth. Now, this man of wisdom on this earth, he loved strange women, and Ammonites and Moabites are labeled as part of the strange women. If Abraham and Lot are standing here, Lot would look at Abraham, so my children are strange women to your son? Correct, right? Solomon is from the family of Abraham. Moabites and Ammonites are from the family of Lot. But actually, Lot and Abraham are related. They are related by blood. They are related. From single family, Lot is not identified as part of Abraham's family over generations because it's not Lot. The children of Lot, they were cut off from the name of righteous Lot. Lot is still part of God's generation. But just because Ammonites and Moabites came from the seed of Lot, Lot says, I had no part in it because I was sleeping. I perceive not that you were created because of me. Because the two daughters, the two women, they made him to go drunk. You see, on the paper, the historical records, Ammonites and Moabites will be remembered as the seeds of Lot, correct? But scripturally, in spiritual sense, King Solomon looked at them as strange women. I love her. Moabites, Ammonites became strange women to the king of wisdom, the son of David. David, the son of Jesse. Jesse from the family of Perez. Perez from the family of Judah. Judah from the family of Jacob. Jacob from the family of Isaac. Isaac from Abraham. So if you look from Abraham's perspective, the father of all generations, God said Ammonites will never be remembered as part of the nation. That is what book of Ezekiel taught us. Now you read. Verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. It works in both ways. Ye shall not go into them, and they shall not come into you. Psalm chapter 1 tells us, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, who sitteth not in the seats of scornful. So that verse talks about one-way direction. As if you are voluntarily going to some evil people's fellowship, you sit there and you discuss among everything, then you come back, then you go and see some drunkards or some filthy people, and you go have some business with them, then you come back. That is one way. But here, the scripture says, you do not go to them, and they should not come to you. You know why? If you are the temple of God, if you are the sanctuary of God, sealed, protected, surrounded by the Spirit of the Lord, they cannot come to you, my brethren. They will hate you. They will despise you. They won't enjoy the fellowship with you. They won't enjoy the conversation with you. They will hate you. They cannot come to you. You don't go to them. You can decide. Because you are scared. Like Lot was scared. He can say, yes, 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 I'm not going to the evil people. But they can come to you if you are in the cave. You should be cut open outdoor in the plain. Shielded by the Spirit of the Lord alone. Not by any bricks or any stones. Standing upon the chief cornerstone, and you are nothing but an empty, weak, naked prophet Isaiah, the naked vessel of God, like David, clothed by Ephesians 6 with the armor of God, nothing else. World cannot see your armor, but the Holy Spirit can see your armor. Amen? Do you really think Solomon was so easy to deceive? Do you really think that all those strange women, they were so wise just to go and simply deceive Solomon? He was the greatest king who was wise on this earth. But there is one more who was wiser than Solomon. The New Testament tells who he is, we know. Now, Solomon was not that easy to deceive. He was not that weak to be deceived. Even when he was young, he had the courage and boldness to destroy all the wickedness as the father commanded. 1 Kings chapter 2, David told Solomon, if you want the kingdom to be established, be brave. Remove all the chaos and confusion. He did. It was that Solomon who built the temple. It was that Solomon. We are going to read now what he did. You would see, is it the same Solomon? His life was changed upside down to the fact that you cannot recognize Solomon as a king ordained by God because of the single word in verse 3. So, shall not go to them. We are very clear. You don't go there and they should not come to you. That is your desire. Wildfire. We must catch the wildfire. If our fire is like a dying flame, beast will come and sit next to you. Because there is no warmth. It will come and sit next to you. Because your fire is not burning the beast. We should catch wildfire. The seventh church age must walk with wildfire. Because the beast is so many now. They are also assembling their army. We must stay together. Not like a single stick. Together. So, we add up the heat. Beast cannot come in. This is where what happened to Solomon. We read this. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. We are going to see who are their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Which love? Lord, hold on to all these things in fear. Which fear? I'm telling you, it's not the fear of God. Correct? Fear of God will put you in the battlefield, not in the cave. Fear of God will make you to go and stand against Goliath. Oh, you are so big. Where is my small stone? Oh, it's here, it's here. I'm ready for the battle. My faith. With axe, I will hit you on the head. I'll pray. I spread before everything to the Lord. I'll put on sackcloth. You have mighty iron, clay, all those armor. I'm coming with sackcloth. I pray. Let's see what happens. If I die, I still win. Amen? Do you know? If you die, you still win. If you lose, you still win. No one can defeat Joshua. It's a promise given by God in the book of Joshua. Joshua, no man can stand against you all your life. Are you Joshua? Yes, we are Joshua. We follow him. Yeshua, the name of our Lord, the Redeemer, the Deliverer who will take us to the land of promised land. Now, with that assurance, look at this. Solomon clave unto them in love. Unto whom? The women. What they did to him? And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. This is the result of what we studied the last two Sundays. Remember this. Wives turned away the heart of the mighty, great, wise king Solomon, who received wisdom from God, especially on a one-to-one encounter. God told Solomon, what do you want? I want wisdom. He gave it to him. But was that wisdom sufficient? Lot was not wise when he was fighting with all those army of people, filthy people. You just try to visualize it. No weapons, with a bare hand, you are trying to hold them from not entering the door, thinking that you can hold them. You are a dead meat there. You are already dead there. And the two angels looked at the childish faith of Lot. They still loved him. Come on, my righteous child. They pulled him in. Child of God. He was literally a child of God. The Lord loved him. He was willing to give everything for the Lord. That is all he did, my brethren. There is no difference between the woman who stood near the temple through the two might that she had, and Lot stood in front of the door of the house through the two daughters that he had. He had nothing. If he told and tell the people, take my wife, and they would say, you are old, your wife is old, she was already known by a man, you, we don't want her. What he said? Take my two daughters. They know not any man. The woman who was praised by God himself, what a faith that she has. She threw the two mites. That's all she had. Lord threw the two daughters for the filthy wolves to devour them. That's all he had. That's it. That is sufficient for the righteous soul of Lord to be delivered from all in his life. And the Lord delivered him. Amen? But the two daughters, they don't have what he had. The wife did not show what he had. Wives turned away the heart of Solomon. Wives turned towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Because she cannot turn Lot. Why? He became a child. He don't know anything. If he wants the toy, if he wants the chocolate, he will go for the chocolate. He know. He found what he should do. He became a child. The wife turned. Husband could not be turned. The daughter slept. Husband could not be able to fall into that consent. He know not, perceive not. He was kept, sealed, protected by the mighty hand of God. Righteous Lot. Amen? So, a single man who is not wise survived. A wise king who had 700 wives, 300 concubines, this and that, he fell. Not in any way, fell miserably. Miserably. The more higher you go, the harder you fall. The worse you get injured. Amen? So now, we read this. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 12-13. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 12-13. Verse 12-13. 2 Kings chapter 23. I will read from verse 12. And the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made. Not one king. The kings of Judah. They all fell. They are building altars here and there. High places for who? We read. And the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe you are all well aware of the word brook Kidron, because we are literally walking in the valley now. Jesus Christ passed over. King David passed over. The same brook Kidron was also used to throw all the broken altars, high places built by kings of Judah to worship other gods, from where it started. From where it started? From the great king of wisdom, Solomon, who introduced strange women. And the Lord told him, be careful, your wives will turn your heart away to their gods. To their gods. Amen. The Lord said this. Verse 13. Next verse. What we read. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption. What? Mount of Corruption? Who gave this name? From where this name came? We only know Mount of Temple, Mount of Olive. What is Mount of Corruption? Which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtaroth, the abomination of Zidonians, for Chemosh, the abomination of Moabites, and Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammonites, did the king defile. Wow! Do you remember which king we are studying in 2 Kings 23? King Josiah. There was no king like him, the scripture says. He was 8 years old when he took over the position, as the scripture says in the previous chapter. Just read chapter 22, verse 1 So that you understand the consequences of every single action committed by men and every single work performed by God. There is a consequence. Verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adaiah and Bosath. Do you remember the name? Sounds very similar. It's also the name of King Solomon. Jedidiah. Jedidiah. You can pronounce in Hebrew or English. Jedidiah. That is the name of Solomon. How Bathsheba called the name of Solomon? Because of the Lord. Jedidiah. Amen. But here it's a different name. The name of a woman. The name of the mother of King Josiah. Why the mother's name was specifically mentioned here? Mother's daughter. We are looking at a good example. Let's look at this. This king, he brought down all the altars built by all the kings of Judah. He destroyed all the high places built by the previous kings of Judah. They were building high places for other gods. And King Solomon's name was explicitly exposed, mentioned. It was also built by who? Built by who? King Solomon. Why? Verse 23 says, the wives of King Solomon from Ammonites made him to build the high place for their god, Milcom. The wives of King Solomon from Moabite turned his heart away to build a high place for their god, Chemosh. Right? Chemosh. God of Chemosh, the abominations of the Moabites. Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Now you see, Solomon, the seed of Abraham, Ammonites and Moabites, the seed of the two daughters, not Lot. The seed of the two daughters, chasing all these generations, generation after generation, all the way unto Josiah, even to defile the name of King Solomon, who is the son of David. Amen? The son of Bathsheba. We know what happened to Bathsheba, God's covenant, God's rebuke, all. And King Solomon was no way, he was out of that wrath. He was still bound to that fall. Because Jerusalem must fall. The Roman sequence, after this, after the ruling of King Josiah, that was the last hope of kings of Judah. After this, all the kings came after him. They fell after one after another. Then King Nebuchadnezzar came and said, the king of Babylon is here. 605 BC, he took over Jerusalem. From now, from then until now, the word you hear, Babylon, the great poor Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon, The book of Revelation talks about Babylon. Before even we step into that territory, we must understand who is the king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, who brought down the Jerusalem to the ground. Who took over Jerusalem. How come a king of Babylon can defeat king of Judah? Can, when you also worship the same God. Do you hear me? So, no one can escape from the righteousness of God, no matter whether you are Solomon, just because your father David was righteous, the Lord still made you to feel how it is to fall into the hands of women. Because the Lord told, wives turned away the heart of mighty kings. Herodias literally pushed King Herod to the pit. Gone. He killed John the Baptist. The moment you lay your hand on the Lord anointed, case closed. The moment you decided to kill Prophet Elijah, your life is closed. Jezebel was dead the moment she thought she could kill Prophet Elijah. Herodias was dead the moment she desired to kill John the Baptist. Why? The Lord said, when you had purposed the hatred to kill a brother, you killed him in your heart. Correct? You can't escape. In the Old Testament, they had the power and army to do it. In the New Testament, we are powerless people. All right, right. I'm telling you, without the Lord, we will be Jezebel, Herodias, we will be evil people if we are given power and authority. If you have a palace, not fighting for survival, you have so much time, right? What we can do? Let's go and kill this nation. What I can do today? Let's go and throw the gold into the river. What I can do today? Oh, 100 concubines, just feed them to crocodiles. I'm very bored. I don't know what to do. But now we are fighting for survival. Have to work to put the food for the table for the loved ones. Amen? In the busyness of the world, in your suffering, don't you see the Lord is keeping you safe? As some wise man said, get busy living or get busy dying. Amen? The Lord told us, get busy dying in your flesh. Get busy living in the spirit. Get busy. Abraham, being old, he was running here and there. When he saw the tree near the cherubim tree, he was running here and there. He told the young man, prepare this. Hasten, prepare this. We should treat them well. Being a old man, he was running here and there. Why? You won't get another chance. He knows. You may not get another chance for fellowship. You should know. We may not get another chance to pray together. We should know. Every single opportunity comes to our hand. We should grab it. Not just touch it with some shallow thought. Grab it. Hold firm. Jacob was holding the angel of the Lord. He didn't leave it. He didn't leave him. He wrestled all night. Showed his steadfast and his desire, his hunger, his immovable faith. And the angel of the Lord said, you made me not to leave you without blessing you. Take it. Lot was pressing upon the two angels. I won't let you go until you step into my home. Forcing him, not in a bad way, humbling himself, relentless, like the woman who was sitting near the table. The Lord said, the breadcrumb, I'll throw to the dog. And she said, I will take it. I will take it. And she said, there is no other faith you can see other than what she showed to us today. Relentless. Never, ever give up on God, my brethren. He may test you. Not to tell you, I will give up on you. He is testing you. Who you are really. Who truly you are. Do you really seek Him? Do you really want Him? He knows. No one can escape from Him. Never forget the fall of King Hezekiah. Never forget the fall of King David. Never forget the fall of King Solomon. Never forget. An 8-year-old King Josiah was labeled as a good king. There was no king before him, like him. 8 years old. What are we talking about? 8 years old. How old was Samuel? What are we talking about? The Lord whom we serve, He wants us to understand. It is Him who is working in our life. It is Him who is speaking the words of life. No one can speak the words of life. If I truly want to please you all, being your brother in Christ, friend in Christ, I can just put all my skills that I learned in my work. Come with a beautiful presented a meal, a 9-course set meal, with Hebrew words, timelines, map, things that you don't know. Then you would love me to the core. I don't want that love. We don't want that love. That is the love of strange women. Desire for knowing things which will not stand you forever for salvation. When we go and knock the gates of heaven, do you think on one side Michael is standing? Oh, Brother Lawrence, do you know this? The Lord says, no, I only know Jesus Christ. Oh, sorry, you can go back. Oh, Sister Lucy, do you know this particular doctrine? What is your explanation? Oh, no, your explanation is not good. You can go back. No! We enter Jerusalem, humbling ourselves by knowing the Lord, clothing of the Holy Spirit, put on the word as a word bride, and the moment the Lord sees His light in you, sees His righteousness in you, the gates will be open for you. You are not going to go and bang the door. It will be open for you. The lame that was healed, he was seated outside the beautiful gate. He never imagined that he would go inside. Apostle Peter and Apostle John came. They said, come, let's go inside. Lord never imagined he would survive Sodom and Gomorrah. The two angels came and took him out. Do you see a pattern? There is always a pattern. And that pattern will never be short of the beautiful consistency of the Almighty. Never, not by one inch. Precise, beautifully the same. So now, the Lord wants all of us to remember. The wisdom of King Solomon was replaced the wisdom of the holy in the book of Ecclesiastes. When he said, fear God, keep all His commandments. That is all we can do. That is the great wisdom God promised Solomon. Not the ones that he had before. Do you understand? Because God is also faithful. If I tell Sister Marywag, I'll give you $1,000. That's all I had. I'm going to die. Sister Marywag needs some money to help some people to study something, some worldly blessing. And I go and die. Sister Marywag thinks, this man spoke some words, some promises, after she mourned for me for a few years. And she said, so whatever he said, that's it. That's it. Then she would realize, he would receive some support, much more than $1,000, which was like a result of 3 years of the Lord's way of keeping increase over and over again. Then the blessing will come in multifold, and she can take it. She was thinking to support 10 children to study. Now she can make 1,000 children to study. That is the promise of God. When God told Solomon, what do you want? When Solomon said, give me wisdom, can the Lord give him the wisdom of the earth? Because He is Almighty. He is all about your whole. Amen? He is all about your healing as a whole. He is all about your blessing as a whole. He is all about you entering into Jerusalem. He is all about that. He don't care whether you are a mighty man in this world. He don't care. Because everything will be brought down. What does it matter? What does it matter? If the rich man cannot sleep peacefully, what does it matter? If the strongest, powerful government in this world cannot sleep peacefully, cannot laugh with a divine feeling of happiness, what does it matter? The Lord is all about His wisdom. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. Amen? The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Amen? Never forget these two. These two are the reason everything falls below. Fearless flock. God-fearing men. Do you see the difference? Fearless flock will remain as a flock. Flock of who? Can be the flock of some other shepherd. God-fearing flock will become the men. Why? If I'm a child, I fear God. The Lord would see, you fear me in my agape love. You fear me in my truth. You fear me in my spirit. I will grant you my knowledge. I will grant you my wisdom. You understand scripture, you grow. After some time, you show your sincerity. You show your commitment. You show that you're steadfast. Because Abraham was not given the promise on the same day. He was 70 plus when he was called. He was near 100 when he was given promised son Isaac. There was 25 years of waiting period. Moses was not called immediately. He was 80 years old when he was called. 40 years he was in the desert. Never forget that. Whenever we say, I can't wait, I can't wait. The Lord would say, Moses waited in the desert for 40 years before I called him to become the leader of Israel. 80 years old when he was called. Patience is knowledge. It can only come when the fear of God kicks in. Now, Solomon had no fear of God when he built the high places for other gods. Do you see? When you don't fear God with reverence and honor, you will build your own high place. When you build, it means some strange woman lied with you. Some strange thought lied with you. Some strange doctrine communed with you. Some evil thought. You had some fellowship, then you put something into work. Unholy faith, that came into work, that is also death. So, all the way from David, what happened to his sons, Amnon, Absalom, these are nothing compared to what happened to what happened after that. Do you hear me? Those two sons, they were killed even before they spoiled the entire nation. But the wise kings, so-called, ordained by God, they are the ones who caused the most severe damage. Do you understand? Now you read this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1. Look at the oneness of the brothers. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1. This is the invasion of Judah. And how the invasion happened? Who is Judah? We point all back to Abraham. Whenever a nation was formed, nation of Israel, we should remember the promise of God to Abraham. Amen? Verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, not Lot, and the children of Ammon, not Lot, and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. They came against Judah to fight. Now these two groups are also from the family of Abraham, but they were cut off from the family of Abraham because they worship not the same God. They glorify not the same God. They fulfill not the same promise of God. Then they were cut off from the household of Abraham. Now they have the courage to go against who? Judah. Amen? The children. Now, let's read Ezra chapter 9 verse 1. Ezra is before Nehemiah. They travel together in the timeline. Ezra chapter 9 verse 1. This is after the invasion of Babylon. Amen? Never forget that. And also the king Persians. Chapter 9 verse 1 says, and now when these things were done, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, and Jebusites, and the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves, and for their sons, so that the holy seed, I repeat, because of that, the, not a, the holy seed mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my back and sat down astonished. Then there assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of God of Israel. Tremble means fear of God in reverence and honor, not shaking in fear of death. Respect, honoring the presence of the word of the Lord. Because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Book of Ezra talks about the scribe. Amen? He was a scribe. He also lived along the timeline of Nehemiah. Now, by God's grace, we studied the life of Nehemiah. The builder of the wall, who also worked closely with Ezra, the scribe, when he came and read the law of the Lord in front of all the people, and all the people who received in understanding, they said, amen, to acknowledge that we are yours. We are yours. We are the Lord's. This is the time we are reading the names of Ammonites and Moabites. My brethren, we are in Ezra. Moabites, Ammonites, we read in Genesis chapter 19. Amen? Do you see the Lord who is constant throughout? Not over yet. Not over yet. Let's turn our scriptures to Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 7 so that we understand the continuation of names coming from the same family. Chapter 4 verse 7. Nehemiah. We read this before. Now we link it back to the topic on mother's daughter, adulterous wife. Chapter 4, verse verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites, amen, and the Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. So, who brought these Ammonites? There must be a leader, a chief captain who brought them. Someone who had the influence to bring them. Just go back to verse 3. Same chapter. Now, Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down the stone wall. Who is this man? Tobiah. He speaks for his people. Ammonite. Amen? So, Ezra, Nehemiah, talked about the name Ammonite. Is there anything the Lord himself spoke about Ammonite? Is there anything the Lord himself spoke directly, blatantly about Ammonite? Let's go. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 49. After book of Isaiah. Jeremiah, chapter 49. Now we are in the prophetical books already. The journey still continues. Chapter 49, verse 1 and 2. Concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities? Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites. Rabbah is the capital city of the Ammonites, the land of Ammonites. He says there will be an alarm of war will be heard in the Rabbah of Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap. When you see the word desolation, you should remember Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a desolation. Two survived, and that too still brought forth Moabites, Ammonites. And that too still causing offense, battles against the children of God throughout until the book of Jeremiah. Amen? Remember what Jesus said. Woe unto him through whom the offense comes. It is better if he was not born. Amen? You can look at the same verse here also. Whatever the things that come against God, waging war against the goodness of God, it is better if that thing was not born. Amen? Now you read. Verse 2. A desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire. What? The two daughters, they escaped fire. Amen? The two daughters of Lot, they escaped fire. Did they or not? Yes, they escaped. They literally escaped fire, following the father. And now, those two daughters became mothers. Now we are studying about the mother's daughter. Amen? Are you with me? Look at the word that is used. The Lord won't do anything without any cause. Amen? Look at the word that is used. You will see the recompense back to the own head. In the same manner, her daughters shall be burned with fire. Not necessarily man or woman, could be the cities, all the actions, whatever is the fruit of Ammonite, the Lord says, I will burn with fire. We read, then shall Israel be there unto them that were his heir, saith the Lord, saith the Lord. One of my friend, many years ago, he's from a different religion. He asked a very good question, just a few years ago. If the Lord allowed all these different religions to exist, if the Lord allowed Ishmael to live, if the Lord allowed Cain to live, let them go and spread their seeds across the earth. Why he allowed? Why he could simply struck them like what he did to Uzzah, what he did to the child of David. He struck certain things in the first place, but he let certain things to go on. Unless there is a redemption plan behind that decision. There is always life in what the Lord works. Amen? The Lord always brings forth life. Redeemed can come from any corners. Never think we are the only one. We are nothing but the fruit of the blindness of Jews. Amen? Gentiles receive grace because the Lord closed the eyes of Jews. Or else we are destroyed. Come on. We are nothing but the beautiful example of grace and mercy, my brethren. The time of Gentiles, never forget. It all started when King Nebuchadnezzar took over Jerusalem. Because of that, there was a journey of time of Gentiles. If not, we are not here. None of us can stand here. So, there is always a light behind the Lord's work. Always. If I ask you, the Lord let Ammonites and Moabites live for thousands of years, but bring forth one single soul for the sake of the seed of Lot. May not be the two daughters. May not be the mighty people in the generation. Maybe one single weak lame. From that generation of Ammon, one. From that generation of Moabites, one. The moment the Lord called them to worship Him, they are not Ammonites anymore. The old man must die. They are not Moabites anymore. The old man must die. You are the child of God. Again, you are brought back into the house of Abraham. Some were born in the house of Abraham when Ishmael was circumcised. They were also circumcised. Not just that. Some were bought for money. They were also circumcised. Who are you? Who is me? Are we Jews? No. We are Gentiles. But the Lord said, I paid the price for your salvation. We were bought by His blood. Amen? Is there anything can be used to buy salvation? No. The blood of Christ. Precious, priceless, irreplaceable. Amen? We are bought because of His sacrifice. We are bought. Purchased. Amen? Can we feel that I can take things for granted? Grace is not granted. Grace is given. Amen? Now, if we don't learn from Ammonites, Moabites, the Lord is telling us, it's just a thin line. The moment I worship not God Almighty, I can cross the line and I can worship Chemosh and Milcom. I became Ammonite and Moabite. All of us can become Ammonite today. You know, you have the power. I have the power. God does not care. Oh, Adam, my first creation of this on this earth. Oh, you did this. Get out. He threw out. I want you all to ask a question. The Lord says, the flock of my pasture is men. Amen? Or men. If the Lord tells this in the Garden of Eden, Eve, you were deceived by serpent. My son Adam was not aware of this. He was sleeping like Lot. He was sleeping like Noah. The husbandman was not aware of this. You were deceived. Then you also deceived my son. Wife, turn the heart of the husband in a good way or the bad way. Now you focus very clearly. If the Lord told Eve, get out of the Garden of Eden, what Adam should do? If any one of you tell me he should follow Eve, you don't know the Lord. The Lord told Adam, tend and keep this garden. Amen? Did He say that? He said that. The Lord told both of them, go out. Adam obeyed. He went out. If the Lord told serpent out, Adam and Eve should remain. If the Lord tells Eve out, Adam should remain. But the Lord did not separate them. He cannot separate them. They are husband and wife in flesh. Because Adam went and put on the cloth of shame of his wife. Because of that, God cannot separate them. If God can separate them, Eve is gone that day. Could not separate them. He put her back into his own clothing. I am the husband. Of course he said, oh, the woman you gave me this and that is actually frustration. But she could not escape from being her husband. That is exactly happened to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for you and me. On Calvary, if he had thought, enough is enough. That's all. Everything will be burned to the ground. He didn't say enough is enough. He said, I can. I will endure. I will endure. I will drink this cup completely because I spoke the word Garden of Eden. He spoke. He must speak, my brethren. I want you all to remember this very carefully. Serpent cannot kill Adam. God must speak a word which stays there that can come to the fulfillment. Only then Adam can get. God had to speak. thou shalt die on the day. You read the same book of Genesis without that verse. Can that curse befall upon Adam? No. Why? Adam is the son of God. Amen? Nothing can happen in Adam's life without God's approval, without God's permission, because he is shielded by God's promises. He is surrounded by God's word. Amen? God said, if you do this, thou shalt die. That word is like a window. It's closed, but it's a window. When Adam did something, that window is open. He was thrown out. If there was no window, my brethren, if God did not say thou shalt die, how can Adam die? Because Adam is part of the word. Now you understand. If you fear your sickness, your life, remember this. You are part of the word of God. Remember this. If you fear, you and me are no different than Lot, who went and hide behind cave, instead of coming open. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord. Why? Because you are part of the word. Part of the word cannot die. Hear me. Word is life. Part of the word, part of life, cannot die. Fear can make you die. Why? The moment I fear, I go from the high places, altar of my Almighty, I go and build my own altar, the fear of God, some other God, some other strange woman. I commune an adulterous wife with some strange husband. Even the fear of the world is also the husband to us if I go and commune. Now, God-fearing flock, men of God's pasture. Amen? People who are fearless to God, they are not the flock of the Lord, flock of the world. Because there are shepherds. That is where book of Ezekiel 34 unfolds shepherds and flock. Now we are traveling from husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, daughters and sons, children and parents. Now we are going to focus on shepherds and flock. Shepherds and flock. Where we stand now, what happened to these two generations? What God spoke about them. Deuteronomy 23, verse 3-6. You know the blessing of why the Lord allows things. Do you really believe there is no one single soul will be saved from the family of Ishmael? Is there anyone who can challenge that? No. The Lord will redeem his seed from Ishmael. Why? Because he is the son of Abraham. The seed of Abraham is still there. They might be completely following some heathen, something else. But the Lord will open their eyes to see him when the time comes. If not, that generation has no reason to live. So, that gives us the answer. The Lord will put an end if there is no reason to continue. He will don't put an end if there is a reason to continue. And that reason, my brethren, always life, always shows his love. That is why God said, love your enemies. Why? The Ammonite who is disturbing you today will become my generation the very next second. The one you despise, the Ammonite today, will become the Ammonite next second. Seemeth unto you. Is it a small thing to all of us? The hand of God is holding you right now as I speak. Because of that, your eyes are straight, setting upon the name of the Lord. If he take off your hand, we will know who we are. At least for Ammonites and Moabites, they can say, yeah, we know Lot, we know Abraham. For us, the Lord's hand on our life is the grace and mercy. He's holding us. Sometimes he'll take his hands off for us to shake so that we fall, then again we stand up. Or else the child will never learn to walk. Amen? If I fear my children fall and get injured, they would remain as a lame forever. I must take my hand off so that they learn how to walk. Find the stability, find the balance, fall to the right, fall to the left. But over and over again, tossed and fro, you know how to stand straight. Then you know how to walk. Armed men, people who can speak for themselves in the faith. Amen? Now, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3-6. Deuteronomy chapter 23, 3-6. It's a very strong statement, but do not misunderstand this verse. Verse 3. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. What forever? If there is no word forever, at least I can convince 10 generations. So, okay, maybe 1,000 years exile. Let's wait for them to come back. The Lord says forever. Hold on, forever. Why? The moment we enter the house of the Lord, we can only enter as the children of God, who belongs to the same city of Jerusalem, city of David, who are from the same father of generations, Abraham, who are bought by the price of our salvation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preached unto the Gentiles by Apostle Paul, who is the vessel God brought salvation to. Amen? We are that children. If I come and sit in the chair, thinking about how this brother will fall, how this sister will suffer, how I can prove myself, how I can differentiate myself. I am an Ammonite. You are the Moabite. Not the men said that. God had spoken this through His servants. In the congregation of the Lord, only the children of God can enter. If someone entered, what the Lord said? Now you remember why we studied Nehemiah. When Nehemiah saw the evil things of Tobiah was brought forth into the tabernacle, the inner chamber, he was so scared. What my God is going to do? So Nehemiah was so fast in doing things to cleanse all the filthiness out of the chamber before the Lord burned down the entire building. Amen? Why? Ammonite cannot enter the congregation of the Lord. It is scripture, Deuteronomy 23, 3-6. Nehemiah knows the scripture. The moment he saw the things of Ammonite, Tobiah came, he threw it out. Why? Now look at the surprise. What is the meaning of Tobiah? Anyone remembers? I spoke. Tobiah means God is good. God is good. So Tobiah is bringing bad things. If you know the meaning of Tobiah's name, you also have a reminder right there. A warning right there. Hey, God is good. Don't take the bad things from him. Hey, God is good. Don't listen to bad things from her. Hey, God is good. Don't do any bad things in the sanctuary. Can I be the hitch riding vessel for Tobiah? Then the Lord would say, hello, Ammonite, how are you? You are not supposed to be here. That's why the Lord said, Moses, take your sandals off, throw it away. That's not mine. That sandal is what is standing between me and my walk with God. What is standing between you and the walk with God? Because your feet must touch the ground that was made by God. If there is something in between, you want some cushion. You want some comfort. You don't want to feel the thorn. You don't want to feel the pain of sharp stones. You want to put some helmet. You want to put something to protect the beauty of your soul, your feet. The Lord says, King David walked Brook Kidron barefoot. Jesus Christ walked in the Calvary barefoot. Can you throw away your sandals? Come to me as my creation. Amen? That is very important. Only then we can say, I am not an Ammonite. This is what I have. This is what I could do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all I can do. I only have 2 mites. I will throw all. That's all I can do. The Lord says, righteous Lord, enter into my heaven. May the Lord bless us. God is looking at the innocence of our heart, not the intelligence of your mind. This can go. One single hit with my hand, you are gone. We'll be in coma. My brother was in coma. I know what coma can do. You would not understand. I can recognize the person, but the person cannot recognize me. Conforming to the image of God. If we don't have the mind of Christ, we are all in spiritual coma. We can't recognize God, and God can't recognize you, because He cannot see darkness. Now you read. Daniel chapter 11, verse 11, 41, 42. Before we end with the beautiful testimony of Moabites. Because that must be a good thing, because God is good. Even the meaning of Tobiah is God is good. Daniel 11, 41, 42. Praise the Lord. Daniel 11, 41, 42. Now we are moving beyond book of Ezekiel. A very important book, Daniel. Chapter 11, verse 41 to 42.
he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. Overthrown is also a word used for Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord overthrew the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Desolation, overthrown, should remind you of Sodom and Gomorrah, because Jesus himself spoke about Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Now you read this. But these shall escape out of his hand. Out of whose hand? The great king from the north. The king who shall magnify himself. That is the focus of Daniel 11. Fulfillment of the end of times. There is going to be a great king will arise from north. He is going to come and overthrow cities and nations. Look at this very carefully. But these shall escape out of his hand. What? From this king, some people are going to escape. Good. Who are those people? Even Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. Why they escape? Then who don't escape? Read verse 42. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. 41 presents some names of those who may escape. 42 presents some names of those who would never escape. Clearly mentioned concerning a king of the north, what he will do towards the Daniel 11 fulfillment. Now remember this. Now let's go. Because David is our central focus still. He is still our central focus. Now let's link them back to David. Amen. Let's turn to scripture. 2 Samuel 8:2. 2 Samuel chapter 8 verse 2. I will read. Remember the sequence of this chapter. Chapter 8 means, in chapter 7, there is a temple of the ark. God established David's kingdom, and God has already given him the covenant, asked him about, can you build a sanctuary for me? That is chapter 7. Now we are in chapter 8. Verse 1 and 2. We read from 1 and 2. It's better. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and David took the Methegama out of the hand of Philistines. Okay. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line. Look at this very carefully. David smote Moab and he measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Okay. Even with two lines measured, he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you all to look at this very deeply. From the perspective of King David, and from the perspective of the son of David, the king of the Jews, the king of kings, from two perspectives. David smote Moab, but still he measured them with a line. One line to put them to death, one line to put them to life, to keep them alive. But in order for them to stay alive, what they should do? What they should do for them to stay alive? Look at the next part. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, now let's ask. Thousands of people from the family of the seed of Abraham, Ishmael. Now we have Isaac. From Isaac we have Jacob, 12 tribes. We always brag about this line. Don't deny. Don't lie. The Lord knows our heart. We always brag about this family line. I was one of them before. Oh, Abraham's generation. Apostle Paul. The 12 tribes of Jews. King Solomon. King David. This and that. But what happened to them really? What happened to them when they fell? Nobody talks about. What happened to them when Lot was delivered, but still the two daughters could not be delivered? They did something to create a generation of Ammonites and Moabites. Scripture is given to us to see all things in the light of the Holy Spirit, not in the mind of men. Amen? Don't be surprised. The Lord will raise sincere, mighty servants for him from all the corners of the earth. And the Lord would also make us, those who receive the truth,
to fall to the extent that we will profane the name of the Lord worse than what they were doing in the past. That is what the Old Testament speaks to us. That is what Apostle Paul also signifies. Hey, I was a Jew, still killing people. Now the Lord opened my eyes. It's not about the family. It's not about the bloodline. It's not about the legacy. It's not about the seed of my father. It's all about the one monogene seed who is beyond all, who is above all, who wants to shine light throughout the corners of the earth. No partiality, no hypocrisy, nothing. The light consumed darkness. Darkness cannot be separated. Darkness is darkness. Cannot be differentiated in terms of blood groups. Darkness is darkness. Those who are gods and those who are not. Things that are God and things that God hates. That is the only separation God knows. That is the only separation Jesus knows. Amen. Ammonites, they were worshipping some other god. Milcom. Moabites, they were worshipping Chemos. They were called to worship the God Almighty from the family of Abraham. How come? How come? Yes, it is possible when you take the hands off. Now, behind all of this, there is always a life. There is always a lifeline in all your friends, all your colleagues, all your relatives, all the people who you think that they are bad. There is a lifeline behind them. And there is a lifeline that is because of which you are hanging. Remember, the same lifeline, the same rope I am hanging. Under me, there is a big bowl of fire. I am hanging in the single thread of truth. The name of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the salvation. I am holding the truth. I am climbing up so that I won't be consumed. Amen? You are actually using the rope to climb up. If you look at all those people who do not have the rope, if you think, oh, I pity them. Oh, what to do? Oh, these people, they don't know God. They are from heathen religion. My brethren, behind their back, there is a lifeline. The Lord tied their lifeline. The Lord tied their soul behind their back. You can't see. I can't see. None can see. Ananias, the prophet of God, the servant of God, the vessel of God, could not see the work of God behind Saul. He said, this Saul is killing people. How can I go and anoint him? God said, go thy way. Go and anoint him. He will be my apostle. So now, I pray and ask all of us. If the bride of Christ, if the righteous wife of righteous judge, if the flock of the shepherd, the good shepherd, if we do not know, cannot see the goodness of Lord behind someone's life, we are very close to the fall like Jezebel, Ammonite, Moabite, like everyone else. Why? The only thing that differentiates God's children from everything else is not the knowledge, is not the wisdom, is not the kingdom, is not your army, is not your weapon. Is that innocent attitude of Lot, who just went and gave everything he had for the two angels he received in his house. For the truth that you receive in your heart, you should be willing to take off everything and throw it outside the heart. Whoever it is, whatever it is, never forget, the children of God will always be put back into the flock of God, into the camp of God. For us, we must go and search and hunt and have the passion, desire what Jesus did. If the Lord decided not to speak the parables, if the Lord decided not to let Stephen die. For the past thousands of years, remember, how many sermons must have been spoken about the testimony of Stephen? Countless. Amen? How many souls were touched, pricked in their heart concerning what Stephen did for Jesus? Countless. Amen? If Stephen is looking from heaven with the Lord, looking down, and the Lord is showing, hey, come on, my son. Look, you know, that day I just delivered you into the hands of enemy. Remember? Yes, yes, yes. You know, remember that day your skin was torn, stones that keep on hitting you, you're bleeding and dying, crying. Remember? Yes, yes, yes. Look at what happened in the past 2,000 years, past all these church ages. Your life as a testimony of Jesus is speaking life to those who listen. Then Stephen would say, wow, wow, that is indeed defeated the purpose of time in his life. He died, but he still lives. Amen? The true servants of God would die, but the ministry of them would still live. Why? Originally, it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the monogenic seed. The seed that was in Lot, the two daughters, they wanted to preserve the flesh, the seed of their father, so that they can do something with his name. That is not the seed of God. There is a seed behind Lot, the seed, the only seed. Not even before Abraham, not even before Shem, before Noah, before Adam, the monogenic seed, the only source of life, our Savior, who breathed life into all of us. That seed is what we are called to preserve. Not any man in between. Amen? If we do so, do not be careless. We will produce Ammonites. We will produce Moabites. Why? God's word cannot be polluted. The absolute authoritative ground of Scripture can never be compromised for any man, any woman, anyone. The word of God must stand tall and strong in any church. And that church, God would say, look at my bride. Beautiful dance. Oh, look at my bride. Beautiful dance. I will call you with a shout. You tarry along. I'll make you into one single bride. Amen? He is gathering all of us. Spiritually, we are one. We are sitting on different parts of the wall. Nehemiah is building the wall. Then he will blow the trumpet. The scripture says, they tarry there. They come along. They gather when they hear the trumpet. God, the builder of the mansions, he is building all. He has built fivefold ministries across the world. Different places, separated. But when he comes and blows the trumpet, we will tarry along. Every single servant of God represents God himself in a particular work. Builder, prophet, king, scribe, shepherd, you name it. He is there, everywhere. Last two verses as I close. Chapter 1. Let's go to Malachi. We will go slowly, because there is no rush. The time belongs to God. Amen. Malachi chapter 1. We read about 8 verses. We read about 8 verses, yes. Verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Far from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. And my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, that ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand? Saith the Lord. Be cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and woveth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupting mount of corruption? Yes, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among heathen. The Lord did not say, my name will not be there in the heathen, I will just escape from them, let them go and die. No, never forget, we were all from the darkness. He called us home. Don't you have the same burden, same diligence, same sincerity, the same way I received mercy? I want this brother, this sister, this man, that soul. As the Spirit leads you, you should have the burden. If not, the Lord would say, your sacrifice is not complete. Why? You forgot my grace and mercy in your life. You know why the Lord put Jonah in the belly of the fish? Why? Why? The Lord put Jonah in the belly of the fish. He know not whether he'll come out alive. He was inside for 3 days. He know not whether he survived. The Lord made the fish to spit him. He didn't fight and come out. Ah, I'm going to be mighty, mighty man of God. I'm going to tear the mouth of the fish. I'm coming. Look at the whale. I killed by single handed. No. The fish spit him out. Just go out. Go. Go and escape. Because God told me to spit you out. Now Jonah came. Did he remember the mercy of God? He went and saw the city of Nineveh. God, who delivered from me from the mouth of fish. See, I am the prophet. I am going to speak the word of God. Everything is going to happen as the Lord said. He forgot 2 letters. The entire book of Jonah, he forgot just 2 letters. God said, if my people don't do this will come like that. If, he put the word if, a condition statement. Jonah could not see the word if. He took everything as absolute. It's like, I'm telling, Brother Clement will scold Brother Zoyal, the Lord is going to deal with him. Correct? Now I say the same thing. If Brother Clement scold Brother Zoyal, the Lord will deal with him. It is 2 different statements. If means it is subject to your free will. Amen? You can choose, I won't do it. If there is no if, you become a puppet of God. Because when Jesus said, I am He, those who stood in front of Him, they were not given a chance. They went backward, they fell to the ground. Why? When He comes, every knee shall bow. No chance. Every tongue shall confess. No chance. That is not a time for free will. Because that time of free will be gone. It's a simple representation. When the Creator comes and tells all of you, hey, I made you, and you see Him, you are scared. You fear Him. You bow down. You are not going to ask if you fear Him. You will fear Him. All will fear Him. But before that, the Lord says, remember the Creator in your youth, before the silver cord is broken. Amen? Now, when Malachi teaches us, if is a very important word in our life, my brethren. Because what if God decided to show His wrath? Remember the scripture? What if? If. What if God decided to take the hands of you? If. What if God did not show grace and mercy in your life? If. What if the fish did not spit Jonah out? If. The word if is a question mark that tells us no one can measure the greatness of God. It is an unknown to you. If. So, if is the word I want all of us to remember. Because God will not do anything without a cause. He cannot do anything that is vanity. He is all about eternity. He will do everything, but there is a cause. And that cause is always light and life. Could be seen as destruction, but light and life. Go and study the true meaning of Shalom in Aramaic and Hebrew and in Greek. And you know what is the meaning of Shalom. Now, this is very important because if is the rope that is all we are all hanging. Because the Lord showed us grace and mercy and truth. If He didn't show, what will happen? You should kick in humbleness, kick in humility. What if God did not reveal Himself to me? Oh, my God, my life is miserable. Thank you, Lord. I hold on to the rope of faith. I pray you give the same to my brother. I pray you give the same to my sister. Burden of the Lord came unto me saying, verse 1, Malachi. This is the last book before we enter New Testament. Amen. Let's read the other next verse. But ye have profaned it. That is verse 12. Verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. Now, sometimes we may misunderstand the word weariness. There are 2 things. Jesus Christ sat at the well of Jacob. He was weary. He asked the woman, can you give me water? Can you say, Lord, weariness God hates. It's a sin. No. That is not the weariness of the world. The Lord was serving the purpose of His word, serving the purpose of the fulfillment. And in flesh, we will all be tired. We will all be weary. Because the Lord will remind us, flesh is weak, spirit is willing. Flesh is weak. Without weariness, how can I know my flesh is weak? So the weariness will prick your heart to tell you how weak we are in flesh. I'll be tired. You see, you will go and watch a documentary for 6 hours straight. You won't take your eyes off from the TV. If you go and pray for 30 minutes, you'll say, it's a long prayer. I felt like ages, man. Oh, my son has grown already. You may think so many things because you will feel like eternity for praying 30 minutes. But if you watch a movie or documentary, you will go time and say, you know what? I love this documentary. I finished one full season without even turning off the TV. Whoa, wow. Bragging about our focus. But what happened to the focus when we pray? When we listen to the word of God? That focus is gone. The Lord says, this is the bad weariness, my brethren. Good weariness is when we serve the Lord, we become tired. And the Lord will come and restore the temple of the Holy Spirit. He will revive it. And the Lord says, those who are burdened and feel weary, come unto me, I will give you rest. So God says, that weariness, he take it. Because that is not the weariness of confusion. That is the weariness of serving him. On Calvary, Jesus was weary. Amen? Was he enjoying the show? Oh, hit me here. Oh, just beat me here. I don't feel any pain. He was feeling the pain, all of it. He was weary. But in that weariness, he fulfilled the promise. He gave us righteousness. So godly emotions are beautiful. Emotions of flesh, not beautiful. Godly weariness is beautiful. Weariness of the flesh is not beautiful. Because you may say, I feel tired. If I say, oh, if after a sermon I go, I feel very like this. People say, what happened to you? Oh, I preached for 2 hours. The Lord took all my energy. I'm going to die. Oh, shame on me. I'm so happy. Nothing can happen to me if the Lord don't let me anything happen to me. We should be happy to lose our beauty for the Lord. We should be happy to lose our goodness for the Lord. Because the Lord is able to refill with mightily. But if you hold on to that, that will cause infection. Do you hear me? Last 2 words as I close. And now, O ye priest, Malachi mainly addresses everything from the perspective of priest. Because in the Old Testament, if you notice very clearly, the kingdom of David, there are three people addressed, my brethren. The people of Israel, the priest, and the Levites. Amen? And the scripture says, the Levites were found more upright than the priest. Because of that, they were called to perform all the duties. The blood sacrifice, burnt sacrifice, whatever. Levites were the hands of God to do it. Levites were the hands of God to carry the ark. Amen? Because the Levites, they were more upright than the priest. The scripture says it. So, but in the New Testament, the Lord says, you are the spiritual priesthood built upon the chief cornerstone. Amen? Because Malachi talks about priest, priest, priest. If I come and offer a song, I am the priest of God offering a sacrifice. Amen? Amen? Because we offer sacrifice. The Lord called all of us to stand in the gap. Then who are the priests, my brethren? All the seven church ages, they are standing in the gap for the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, for the wrath of God not to consume them, for the grace of God to continue, so that we can have time to be perfected. Amen? The Lord says, okay, sing unto me, praise and worship, speak about the truth. I will just all accept your sacrifices. I will accept your sweet aroma. The priest covers the multitude of the sin. Love covers the multitude of the sin. The love of Solomon was the love of strange woman. The Lord said the priest hold on to the love of God. The love of our Savior, our Master. Then we can cover the multitude of sin. Everybody gets time. Moses was hiding. He was like Michal who covered the king with the bedsheet. And told King Saul, oh, king is not here. Oh, king is sleeping. King is sleeping. Don't disturb him. King escaped. We were all covered by his mercy. If not, we would have been taken by the beast of the world. Last verse as I close. Verse 2, if ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to the heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already. Because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. Not any other fear, my brethren.
The fear wherewith he feared me. The truth wherewith I gave unto them. The light wherewith I shined unto them. And was upright before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. The strange wise turned the heart of King Solomon. The righteous man Moses turned away the wrath of God from the people of Israel. You see the turn away? There are different turn away. Which turn away we are doing? Turn away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, as I close. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 and 3. Does it remind you of anyone? Does it remind you of any person? Let's take an example of Cain. He brought a sacrifice to the altar, and the Lord did not stop him from offering. Amen? Think about it very closely, because there are many people who are confounded about free will and God's perfect will, who are confounded about the blessedness, goodness, gracious, merciful God's work against the judgment of God that comes later. Cain was allowed to offer sacrifices, but the Lord loved Abel's sacrifices. Amen? Now, Cain was so jealous and angry and wroth in his heart because God expressed his love for Abel. What if God showed the same reaction to both sacrifices? So that Cain looks at God's mouth, can't see anything. Abel looks at God's face, cannot see anything. Both are treated, accepted in same fashion. If God did this, because God knows Cain will have a side effect of this, Cain will react differently. If I be me, myself, then God is not almighty. He is not righteous. So the Lord who hears your cry, he will also respond to your beautiful sacrifice. Why? He hears your cry. He looks at Abel's sacrifice, so beautiful, so pleasing to God's sight. He loved Abel's sacrifice more than Cain's sacrifice. He made it clear. Do you hear me? Let your A be A, nay be nay, anything other than any of it, it is considered evil. For God is light, in him there is no darkness. He made it very clear. David, you killed my righteous son Uriah. He is not a king, but I don't care. I will visit you. I will make you pay the price. Amen? Now God look at Cain and Abel. And because of the corrupted sacrifice of Cain, something that he was short of, not up to the sacrifice of Abel, God made it clear, I will make you feel that your sacrifice was not on par with Abel. He made an imbalance there. But no, he went to the side of righteousness. Because God, he identifies himself to the side of light. Do you hear me? Light attracts God's presence because he is light. Righteousness brings God to the side because he is a righteous judge. That is how God's children escape. Why? When the Lord sees righteousness, he will just go to the side. He will actually go to the side and stand next to them. Now, because of that, what happened, my brethren? Cain's thought came to manifestation. He was wroth. He hated him and he committed murder. Amen? Now I ask you, if the Lord did not allow Cain to sacrifice, he would not have killed Abel, then that is not God's righteousness. So now you understand how God works. He is all in all, yet he let things happen in a way because we are created in his image and his likeness. That is the most forgotten verse in the scripture. People think, I'm saved. That's all. I'm from different other religion, heathen God. That's all. No. You are created in his image, in his likeness. You have the right to choose. Today, it's a blessing and a curse. What Book of Malachi said? The Lord said, I will change your blessing to curse. Amen? The Lord said, I will transform your blessing to curse. Because it was offered to me in my altar with a thought that doesn't belong to me. He must react. May the Lord bless us to understand his work in seeds, in sacrifices,
in offerings, in rebellion, in giving everything from the heart. What the verse says? Verse 1, I wanted you to take it to your heart, but you didn't. It's a warning to all of us throughout the ages. May the Lord teach us. Whatever that we don't take it to the heart, stuck in the mind, profiteth nothing. Amen? Profiteth nothing, because it must go to the heart. Stay there, so that it can bring forth life. Whatever stays here, it's like we are all going to play in the rain. My head got soaked in the water. I come home, I feel so spiritual. Wow, I just soaked in the water of life. 30 minutes later, sunlight came. The wetness is gone. I became dry again. I go back to my own base. The Lord said, drink it. Keep it in your stomach. Sunlight cannot make your water go dry. It is in your stomach. Truth is bitter, but we can store it in our life, in our heart. Then it brings forth life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all rise as we close. Thank you, Lord. Our Lord, our God, who alone is wise, who alone is righteous, who alone is light. But Lord, you call all of us to enter into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. We are not worthy, but you called us to live a life worthy of your calling. It is worth the living for that calling. Yes, we were not worthy, but Lord, we will live a life towards the mark of your calling. To be worthy of your calling. Only you can do it, Lord. Only you can mold us. Only you can carry us. Only you can take us to the promised land. Help us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. And lead us. Lord, we pray. Teach us, Lord, to learn everything in sincerity and put everything in our life in truth with a desire of what the Father in heaven wants to do in my life. May the Spirit of the Lord bear witness with me and tell me, teach me, speak to me, give me a personal encounter to listen to the voice of God and to live a life where I feel, wow, today the day was beautiful because I did some good thing as the Lord led my heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to grow day by day in the way you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.